sorry. But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, welcome, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. We're on hour two of this epic rant. you're on Republic Broadcasting, coming from the town of corruption, yes, Texas. So I had a listener, I guess, called in and said, what if you replaced the word people in person with the word customer? And how would that affect things? Well, that doesn't affect things at all, because we are considered customers. You know, I've commented on this a lot, actually. When you look at the comprehensive annual financial report, which is the required audit of every government agency, including the Federal Reserve, when you look at your local government, they have two listings for two different types of government. You have governmental funds, and you have non-governmental funds. You have taxpayer things, and you have customer-based things. There's a reason that government considers you a customer. There's a reason that government calls you a customer all the time. It doesn't treat you as a taxpayer, because you're getting a service as a citizen of the United States from a municipal corporation. There's nothing lawful about it. It's a contractual relationship that you have. You're a customer. You're an employee. That's all you are to these municipal corporations, right? They have certain obligations to uphold, because they are collecting tax money. Therefore, they have to follow the law. They collect tax money. Therefore, they have to use that money for taxpayer purposes. But if you actually look, most of the money they collect is in what? Oh, fees. Fines, levies, stealing, tax seizures, all that kind of stuff. Well, folks, that's not tax money. That's customer money. You see, because remember, customers have the equal rights. Customers are taxed, fined, put in prison, exacted, and extorted from, not taxpayers. Taxpayers would never happen to a taxpayer. Understand? As a customer, you, which is, again, what government calls you. Just look at any government bill. When you call government, you'll get customer service sometimes. I mean, I don't think they think when they do these things, because I don't think they think people will think about that. But yeah, I mean, that is really all you are. You are, when it says that you have the right to contract, remember what you're doing, okay? Now, if I'm a customer of Walmart, I'm going into that store and I'm basically entering into what's called a unilateral agreement with that store. I'm going in there, I'm going to follow their laws, their rules, I'm going to pay their money, and their law says that even though they owe the tax, they're going to put that tax on me. It's a sales tax, they're doing the selling, and yet I'm paying their taxes for them. That's why corporations don't pay tax, sales tax, or any tax hardly, because we pay their taxes for them at the checkout stand. We're stupid that way. We allow them to put their taxes onto our prices. We should be boycotting them for that, but the problem is the government allows that because they want their tax, and of course the corporations are very happy to do that because then they don't have to pay tax. Wow. So we are customers. We walk in there, and just like in government, we're signing our rights over to that company. We are going to do exactly what we're supposed to do in that store. If we do anything different, security guards are going to come and kick us out. Maybe even take us to jail. Because they can. So we are customers. There is no difference between a person, a United States citizen or person, and a quote-unquote customer. It's the same thing. And that is how they consider us. All the fines, fees, levies, taxes, all that stuff that is not lawful, that is purely legal, contractual, all the fines from DMV, etc., 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 those are all customer-based things. So there you go. And remember, government's never signing any contract. It says you have the right to contract with government. It doesn't say the government's going to contract with you. You're signing the contract, not government. Remember that. Because you're the customer. Your relationship to government is not going to change government in any way. You have no power there. Just like you can't change the rules of Walmart. It's just not your, it's not your nature. Well, that goes back to the law of nature, right? Now remember, this is how government has to define this so that it can go against it. Number two says, the primitive laws of nature... Oh, they're primitive, are they? The primitive laws of nature. That's because these men who would act under God in righteousness and self-government to do no harm to others. That's primitive, you see. The primitive laws of nature may be reduced to the six. All right, number three. One, when man is properly organized, in other words, controlled, he is able to discover moral good from moral evil. All right, so if you read the Bible... You get taught by your parents pass on the knowledge, then you can discover moral good from moral evil. So, guess what, folks? That means it's telling you that it considers you to be properly organized, and that you are able to discover moral good and from moral evil. Now, what the maxims of law are clear on this. If you are participating in evil, then you're not good. You can't claim it's evil and say I'm good if you're participating in the evil. You are evil as well. Remember, evil is live backwards. You're civilly dead. You're spiritually dead, I should say. So, number one about the law of nature is that you're reasonable. You can discover moral good from moral evil. We all can. We all know it. It's how we act upon that. And unfortunately, we act upon that within citizenship, within a contract. And the study of man proves that man is not only intelligent, but a free being. And he's therefore responsible for his own actions. Remember, this is a law of nature. This does not apply to government. But it has to define it so that it can go against it. The judgment we form of our good actions produces happiness. On the contrary, the judgment we form of our bad actions produces unhappiness. Oh, gee, that's real hard to understand. There's your do no harm, folks. It's just the law of nature. Do no harm to others. Number two. Every animated being is impelled by nature to his own preservation. That goes throughout the animal kingdom. To defend his life and body from injuries, to shun what may be hurtful, and to provide all things requisite to his existence. That is pure natural law, folks. That is self-defense. That is all the loopholes in the legal law. That's why self-defense is a loophole. Because they have to acknowledge the law of nature over their own law. Hence the duty to watch over his own preservation. There you go. That's self-government. That is the religion. That is how religion applies to someone who is self-governing. See, that doesn't apply to you if you're a citizen. Suicide and dueling are therefore contrary to this law, and a man cannot mutilate himself or renounce his liberty. No, it's true, you can't renounce your liberty, folks, but you can sell your rights. That's the difference between unalienable rights, which are from God, and inalienable rights, which are the ones that government buys from you through contract. It offers you some meager benefits, Social Security, etc., to get you to give up your liberty. You can't renounce it, though. It's always there. God is always with you if you just invoke the power of God, the laws of nature. They will always trump this thing that we're talking about. Number three. The attraction of the sexes, here we go. The attraction of the sexes has been provided by God, it says, for the preservation of the human race. And this law concerns celibacy. Excuse me, condemns celibacy. Oh, so the natural law condemns celibacy, and yet the church says priests should be celibate. Oh, that makes perfect sense. Oh, yet another example of how the church is against God's law. So listen to this again, folks, because remember, number one, when man is properly organized, he's able to discover moral good from moral evil. Is gay marriage a moral good or a moral evil? Well, I'm sorry to say it, folks, but if you're talking about morals, then yes, it is a moral evil. Why? Because it's not responsible. It's not reasonable. The purpose of marriage is procreation, folks. You don't get married for selfish reasons. It's an act of God. It's a moral act. Okay? So I can't say I'm for gay marriage, but I can't also say I'm against it because it's civil. If you're participating in evil, then I should expect you to do something evil. Remember, evil is anti-life. It is anti-God. It is anti-nature. So is gay marriage part of the law of nature? Absolutely not. Am I going to condemn someone personally for it? No. No, if that's your thing, man, go for it. I mean, you have the capability. You just have to be a slave to government to do it. So no, I don't support it. I don't support marriage at all because it's not real. It's a fiction. You're giving vows not to God but to the state through God, which is totally against the laws of nature and the scriptures. I can't put it any more clearly than that. The attraction of the sexes has been provided for the preservation of the human race. That can mean only one thing, folks. That means getting it on and having some children. That's it. That's the only way you can preserve the human race. We are not doing that because we're so caught up in the Templar. What am I saying Templars for? We're temporal, the secular. We're so worried about the act of marriage itself that we don't realize the act of marriage is for procreation. The end of marriage proves that polygamy and polyandry are contrary to the law of nature. Hence, it follows that the husband and wife have a mutual and exclusive right over each other. All right, so all you sexist women out there, all you feminists, you can go away because if you're following the law of nature, you put that aside because that's something that is secular. All right, that's what feminism comes from. It's not law. It's not natural for you to be a feminist. Natural, exclusive right over each other. Okay? That is not something you need a piece of paper to do. If your man or your woman is not treating you right, then you don't stay with them. I mean, a responsible man and a responsible woman would not be in a marriage if that was the case. God would not want it that way. Man, number four, man from his birth is wholly unable to provide for the least of his necessities, but the love of his parents supplies for this weakness. Not in the civil life, because we abandon the child because we're irresponsible. We don't know the law. We have no idea what we're doing. And so we get rid of our children. But in nature, it would be this way, where man from his birth was wholly unable to provide for the least of his necessities. That's obvious. That's reasonable. No one can deny that. But the love of his parents supplies for this weakness. This goes back to the last one. Why do you need parents of the same sex? Come on, folks. The sacred union of yin and yang, the male and the female. That should be obvious. It should be obvious and reasonable to anyone. Anyone out there. I don't care how gay you are. gay, homosexual, I'll use the correct slang, correct science. This is one of the most powerful laws of nature, it says. The love of his parents. That doesn't mean man and man or woman and woman. That means man and woman. That is the sacred bond of childhood and parents. The principal duties it imposes on the parents are to bestow on the child all the care its weakness requires, to provide for its necessary food and clothing, to instruct it, probably the most important thing, to provide for its wants, so it's not needy, and to use coercive means for its good when requisite. So what is that saying, folks? That means you have every right to chastise your child when it does something wrong, because that's how you teach it, that's how you instruct it. But instead, we've allowed the state to do that. And it does that even to us parents. It takes our children away from us through coercive means because we're still infants. We're still wards of the state. We don't have the right. We're like, again, livestock. We don't have the right to have children. We're not responsible enough. We're not under God. Our religion is to the state. We don't follow our beliefs. See, this natural law stuff, all based on God, all based on logic and reason. It should and very well does apply to both sides of the argument. If you're really religious or you have no religiosity in you, doesn't matter. Laws of nature apply to both. It's purely logic and reason. Sometimes you have too much religiosity, too much fundamentalism, you can't be reasonable. Sometimes you're so full of logic and reason, you can't be religious. Unfortunately, that's kind of how we're brought up. So you have to have a happy medium, a happy in-between state, or you're going to be sucked up on either side to the government. The government's going to provide you the church, the religious, the false religion, and it's going to provide you the reasonable and logical government that every man should have that doesn't have religion. It's really a brilliant setup if you think about it. The religious sentiment, number five. The religious sentiment which leads us naturally towards the supreme being, God, however you define it, it's your personal thing, is one of the attributes which belong to humanity alone. That's what sets us apart from the animals. That's why they want to make us animals. They want to define us as animals, educate us as animals, as livestock. They don't want us to have the religious attribute. It's so important to nature to have it. To respect it, to gain morals and values. So if your religion, your relation to God is through the state, you're not going to have any. Because morals, ethics, values are totally against the legal law. The legal law is there to wreak havoc on the natural law. It's one of its, the religious sentiment, one of the attributes which belong to humanity alone, and its importance gives it the rank of the moral law of nature. From this sentiment arise all the sects and different forms of worship among men. You hear that, folks? From this sentiment, from the religious sentiment, arise all sects and different forms of worship among men. Okay? So again, if you have not a religious bone in your body, you are still worshiping somehow. Whether it's pagan, whether it's some custom cult, sect, doesn't matter. Could be Agenda 21. That could be your religion. Could be green. Could be sustainable development. Could be recycling. You know, whatever it is. It's your religious sentiment. All right? And when it becomes the legal sentiment as well, then it's false. It's not according to nature. It's being dictated for you. Number six, the need which man feels to live in society is one of the primitive laws of nature, whence flow our duties and rights. And the existence of society depends on the condition that the rights of all shall be respected. On this law are based the assistance, succors, and good offices which men owe to each other. They being unable to prove each and everything for himself. Okay, so this here is talking about negative law. We have positive law, which is the government, and we have negative law, which is God. What is negative law? Well, let's define positive law first. What does it say here, right under this? Positive law is used in opposition to natural law. May be considered in a threefold point of view. The universal voluntary law, there it is, voluntary, or those rules which are presumed to be law, presumption of law, opinion of the courts, by the uniform practice of nations in general, and by the manifest utility of the rules themselves. Then there's the customary laws, the cult, the culture, or that which, from motives of convenience, has by tacit but implied agreement, there's your Title 42, Section 1981, the contractual relationship agreement, prevailed not generally indeed among all nations, nor with so permanent a utility as to become a portion of the universal voluntary law, that's what we're all under, folks, remember, you can't say it's evil if you're acting in evil, if you're acting as a character in the evil plan. but enough to have acquired a prescriptive obligation among certain states so situated as to be mutually benefited by it. Number three, the conventional law, or that which is agreed between particular states by express treaty, a law binding on the parties among whom such treaties are in force. What's that talking about, folks? Remember, states have a treaty to enforce federal law in the states to U.S. citizens. Right? Now, is positive law a good thing? Absolutely not. Positive law, again, as used in opposition to natural law, which is what we just read. So where does gay marriage fall in that? Gay marriage falls in positive law. Positive law is the opposite of negative law. What is negative law? Negative law simply means that that you have the right not to be screwed with. You make up your own decisions. You can say no when someone wants to buy your house. They can't force you to sell it like they can in positive law, like eminent domain. It is the duty, as it says in the natural law, of all men to respect each other, do unto them as they'd have done to them, right? To do no harm, to have no force, to do no, that is God's law. That is how that works. Positive law, which is all government, all church, positive law is, as it says, as used in opposition to natural or negative law. Negative law simply means leave me the heck alone and I will leave you alone. Period. End of story. And unless, of course, you break the natural law. As soon as you do harm, well, then you don't have the protection of God anymore. And that's where positive law comes into play. So, anyway, I guess we can go to the phones. I actually haven't given the number out today, but if you'd like to call in today, it's, where's the phone number? 1-800-313-9443. That's how pathetic I am. My board op had to come in and remind me of the number. 313-9443, folks, if you'd like to call in today. Perhaps you'd like to dispute what's been said here. Perhaps you're one of those people who've sent me emails and chastised me. I'd be happy to debate anybody on this subject. Just be debating you out of the annals of law, which is fine with me, because again, remember, you have to be able to take yourself out of your own ego, if you will, and think about others. How are other people thinking? How are fictions thinking? Well, they don't think. So you have to learn all the rules and all the maxims and all the laws to understand how your person, which belongs to that law, applies. How does your person interact with the fiction? You, I don't know how to say this. You must know, because you are in that contractual relationship, you must know. And again, what does the maxim say? It doesn't matter if you know. You don't have to know the law. You don't have to know the millions and millions and millions of legal codes to be bound by them. Because ignorance is no excuse. And the law agrees with that. I don't care what your personal opinion is. It doesn't matter what my personal opinion is. Only thing that matters is that you are contracted with something that that says very clearly that it doesn't matter if you understand the law, you're bound by it anyway. Right? If you go to Gold's Gym, you become a member, you're bound by that law. Doesn't matter if you know it or not. You go in there naked, they're going to kick you out, probably revoke your membership. Right? They have a dress code. We have a code for everything. And again, doesn't matter if you know it or not. You're bound by it because you've signed up as a customer of it. Let's go to John in Canada. Welcome, John.
Hey, Clint. You know, I'm surprised you're getting flack, you know, at all. I got to tell you, I've been riding your coattails, and I can't find an underlying objection to what you're saying right now. Or in the past.
Well, it's easy to when you have a belief system, it's easy to get offended when someone goes against those beliefs. And it's easy to mistake someone going against those beliefs when they talk about a perspective that is opposite to those beliefs. And that's the problem, is we can't separate ourselves from one from the other. We always look at things through our own eyes, and that makes us slaves, basically, to that system, because we can't picture it from that perspective.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, it kind of takes me back to, like, when I first started listening to you with other hosts and stuff, and that was the Trivium, and I kind of got locked into it, and I love the idea of language, you know. I love, not the idea, but the practice and the mechanics and all that, and the logic. And it's understanding, you know, like I'll just ask you, like, do you see a logic component is understanding how a system can be understood by the actions and results? No need for a manifesto, to understand it in terms of, like, political ways, but just the results, you know, how to understand the operations that are below the radar, you know. Therefore, the result can be clear to logistically understand. And this is where then you take that, you know, your ability to, like, understand, like, a fallacy and understand the mechanics of logic, and then come up with, like, I can now teach somebody new, like, say, my son and daughters, and say, I can now teach you something. You know, and yeah. Like, I've always followed you on that that arc of understanding the world, and, like, understanding, like, how you can, like, move forward in this mire of, you know, total crap, you know?
Well, and see, that's the beautiful thing, I think, about the scriptural teachings, is that it's like, that's where the fallacy comes. That's where the trivium comes from. It is the utmost of reason and logic. I mean, if you follow that, the only way that you can be upset, the only way that your lifestyle and your religion can be upset, is if you let anything fictional into your world. If you become a member, a citizen, if you do anything that gets you into a contractual relationship where you have an obligation other than to God and to your fellow man under the natural law, that's the only way that this thing we're talking about, this principle of do no harm and volunteerism and all the things we call it, that's the only way that it can get messed up, is just the lawyers, the attorneys, the accountants come in and they try to sell you something. They try to get you to turn your unalienable, which means they cannot be leaned, your rights, under God. They try to convince you that they're inalienable, which means, yeah, they're unalienable, but you can sell them. You have the choice to sell those rights, and that's what they do. They buy them right up, and they give you benefits in return, and all of a sudden you're in the society we're in today, where pedophilia is rampant, and it's perfectly protected by the courts. Anyway, John, I got a jam. We got some more calls, but we'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically, and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Is this real? 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 Or is this just rhyme?
It's like a ride. You think it's real?
Think it's real?
It's just a ride.
We can change it anytime we want.
It's only a choice between fear and love.
The world is like a ride. You think it's real?
Think it's real?
It's just a ride.
We can change it anytime we want.
It's only a choice between fear and love.
Let's see. Let's go to Jeff in I think that's Pennsylvania.
Hey, how do you do, Clint, and
welcome.
The rest of RBN? It's been a little while again since I've called in, but I guess I'm doing all right. I've also been reading, Two Treaties of Government, actually, by John Locke. I have it right here in front of me, and there's a line that I wanted to say right here on. It said, it's only three lines, but he basically states, and word for word, he says in the book, that all government is an absolute monarchy, and the ground he builds on is this, that no man is born free. But here's the thing, though. If we're considered men, and we're considered to be, you know, free man, under the, I guess, I kept thinking that natural law is positive law for some reason, but I guess it was the negative law. Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Then how come we are considered to not be born free, though, if he contextualizes that we are man instead of persons.
Well, so you gotta realize, and this is very difficult sometimes. If I were to try to talk on this show in a purely common language, then most of my words I would have to define against the legal terminology. So man is also a legal term. Remember, they have to put a name, a noun, on everything so a rock is a legal term. Every word is basically a name, a noun, or a verb. And so you have to understand that the entire language technically is a legal one so that they can... I don't know how to explain it, but if you put a name on something, then you own the title to that thing. You own the name. So when the legal fiction talks about man, it will try to refer to man as human or
God-man,
which means monster. In other words, it tries to get you back down to the state of animalism. To where you don't have that higher reason, higher cognizance. So you have to remember that government always has to, the legal system always has to define things in its own terms, so that like it can't acknowledge that you have unalienable rights, or it wouldn't exist. No one would be in it. So it has to define man with inalienable rights, so which means that you can sell those otherwise unsellable rights. So you see, it has to define things in its own terms so that it can make itself have a presence in our reality. It's kind of hard to...
I was just going to ask one more thing, because I know you probably have a bunch of callers. So basically, I don't know exactly how to put it, but if you basically call the rock by, I don't know, that is the gray rock of this name of a mountain, you're basically just giving government power by using its own words?
Yeah, well, remember the thesaurus, the definition of thesaurus is treasure. So the most powerful and valuable things in this life are words, titles, names.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Language is everything.
Like, I mean, words are your sword. Just rearrange the words once in a while.
So the important thing is that they've created this sort of false consent for us. So they've guided our intent, right? So when, you know, your intent in general, when you point to your pet or you point to a mountain, you know, I'm going to go climb that mountain. You're not referring to that mountain as a legal thing, but we are doing so under contractual obligation to govern. We have to follow the rules of the park that sits on that mountain, the jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they've figured out this brilliant system of evil that I call it, anti-life, anti-everything real. You put a title on it, you create it as a fiction, a name, a noun, and you... Therefore, it's all pulled in. So they've guided falsely our intent by creating us into their own creation, which is an artificial person. So they've literally defined our intent for us by birthing us into their system as their creation. Does that make sense?
One other thing, just really, really quick. I understand whenever it comes to the Christian name, and all of that. Technically, if you're worshiping Christ, wouldn't you be worshiping his surname, apart from him by blood being a Judaic figure?
No, because Christ is not a surname. The Pope is claims to be Christ on earth. So Christ or Christos just means anointed. So when the Queen goes through her ceremony, she gets anointed with oil and she becomes Christ on earth. So Christ is not a name. It's not a surname. Jesus.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you that to be sure.
Yeah. Everyone Christ would never go by a name.
But they don't refer to his first. They don't call him by his his Christian given name, although he is technically born Jewish by blood. I just wanted to ask, you know, those few questions. Also, thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Cool.
Let's go to Ray in Oregon. Ray, welcome.
Well, hello there. This is Ray Karczewski from Cave Junction, Oregon, and I am a living Christ. By that I mean that I am a simple man of truth. All men who stand in truth, who speak truth, who act in truth, are Christ's. We have been inundated with satanic conditioning into being a person. Now, I have to say this, Clint. You and Mark Passio, I perceive, are the best at what you do in your particular venues.
And, I appreciate that.
Pardon me?
I appreciate that.
Well, you speak truth in a very logical way, and you're speaking to intellects. Now, intellects are a tough nut to crack. Now, I anger people by the fact that I just speak truth to what it is, and you can take it or leave it.
Well, it's interesting because what we've done, Ray, is we've allowed government through the courts to create truth. So truth is a funny word. If we contract that, and then we go to court and we say, you know, the truth is defined as actually what the jury decides. So the truth, it says in the maxims of law that the verdict or the truth of the court, whoever speaks truth, it is always of God, is how it goes. So if we allow government to be our truth and we follow its laws instead of God's laws, then yeah, that's our truth. Even though we don't acknowledge it as our truth, we hate it, we despise it, it's repugnant to us, that is our truth, because that's the path we're walking. And that's the unfortunate reality of that notion of truth. So if your truth is coming from the scriptures, is coming from the ancient knowledge and from good people who've taught you good things, then you're making your, when you say you are the living Christ, it means you're making your own truth. You're following in the steps of the truth. And that's so different than what we experience. A best analogy to me is the Matrix. I mean, how do they put us into their system from birth? Well, in the movie, it's pod people, right? You don't even know you're in the Matrix. Well, most of us have no idea about what I'm talking about. We don't know we're birthed into this system. We have no idea we're slaves to this system and that the system tells us what our truth is. Well, neither do the people in the Matrix when they when they wake up and into the harsh reality of what reality actually is. The truth is vastly different than that perceived reality of the Matrix, right?
Is non-dualistic.
Yeah.
It is holistic in its own sense. It is what is. The average intellect, well, all intellects, I should say, are involved deeply with the dualistic aspect of consciousness. That is the divisive part of consciousness that is opposing. That's what Satan means, is the satanic consciousness. And the satanic consciousness cannot abide by the words of Christ, by truth, because the non-dualistic cannot align itself with the dualistic and vice versa. So the intellect will argue. A Christ does not argue. He simply stays the truth, and
exactly.
One may take it or leave it.
Exactly. What do you do in court? You argue your case.
That's great.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I put you on my mailing list because I respect what you are doing, and you will understand
absolutely
what I'm saying. So thank you for your time.
All right, Ray. Thanks for your call. And, you know, walk the walk, my friend. I'm proud. Renee in North Carolina. Is it Renee or Renee?
Well, I'm glad there's some other people calling and saying very supportive things also, because I kind of just finally got a laptop in my bedroom where I can listen at night, and I do very much enjoy your show, and I hate to hear your frustration because I think you are one of the best, okay? And, you know, I've named this so-called truth movement the half-truth movement. Because there's a lot of BS in it. And a lot of people are still stuck in their dogma. like I saw on your website, and I was thrilled to see this, how, you know, everybody says it's the banks, the banks, the banks. The banks can only get away with their with what they're doing because the government allows them to do it. They can fix it in a moment. And I saw you said the same thing on your website. And there's another thing, and I'm going to use this little analogy for people to understand. It's like we're trapped in a box, okay? Now, we're trying to believe that there are two doors that we have to use if we want to get out the box. And one door is called voting, and the other one is called the courts. We've been trying to use those two doors to get out. We have tried to get out. They are locked tight. How long do we have to keep trying the doors before we realize we're never getting out through those two doors? And see, what aggravates me is there are people in this movement still trying to get us to believe we can get out of the box by using voting or the courts. If voting worked, it would be illegal. The thing is, no. Even if Rand Paul manages to get on there, I'm not leaving the House to go vote for him, okay? Because I just don't think it's going to change anything. So the thing is, but think about it this way. Okay, let's say you're trapped somewhere and you finally realize you're not getting out one way. And this is why I don't like these people that keep telling me I have to keep trying those two doors. Because as long as I keep focusing on those two doors, I'm not looking at other options. Think about this. When you're in the situation and you finally realize, I'm not getting out these two doors. What happens? There's a shift. You start going, well, I ain't getting out this way. So you start looking around. Well, maybe you never looked in back of you, and there's a window on the back wall. Or maybe those walls are made of sheetrock. They could be Japanese walls made out of paper. But as long as you keep focusing on those two doors, you don't even look for other options because you've told you have to use those two doors. So the thing is, I really don't trust any of these, what I call kind of second line of defense gatekeepers that are within this patriot movement that continue to tell me I have to use voting or the courts because I know there's no way we will ever get any satisfaction. How long is it going to take us to learn that we're not going to get any satisfaction out of either of those two doors?
Well, I'll tell you what, Renee, what's really amazing to try to comprehend is if we are voting, if we are allowed the franchise of voting as U.S. citizens, then what are we voting for exactly? We're not voting for anything in the Constitution. We're not voting for anything. We are actually participating in a private franchise. And what does it tell us? We're not electors. We're just voters. We legitimize the electors, which, as KW said, were the landholders, the actual holders of the land that we're all living on. And we're just tenants, of course. So we're actually participating in something that actually isn't even technically a real vote. And the North Carolina Secretary of State, I think it was, verified that. She said, when you vote, you are voting to legitimize the slate of electors. You want to know who your electors are? Go look. Go look at the... Go look at your local state electors, and that's who's what. I'm in this state. We have the governor, we have the attorney general, who's now in jail, was an elector. for fraud. Well, I mean, these are the people who are electing president, and it's interesting because the Constitution says, well, if you're going to be an elector, you cannot be an agent of government. Well. But we're not in that area. This is a completely separate election that we're participating in because, again, we're not acting as the people. And as far as the bank issue, the bank issue is really easy to understand, folks. The banks.
A lot of
are
people
not,
still don't.
Well, so whose money are the banks dealing in? Do you think the banks own the dollar? The banks take care of U.S. dollars, which are property of the Federal Reserve and government in contract. If they're handling the exclusive property of the United States, who is the real banker? Well, it's the creator of the money, or the corporation that allows the money to be created through that agreement in the Federal Reserve. You don't create money unless you're a member of the Federal Reserve. That means you can be regulated at any time. In fact, the purpose of the Federal Reserve was to regulate the banks, to organize the crime, actually. You know, it wasn't a good thing. It was just neutral. It just organized the crime into smaller hands and reined in all these banks from creating so much funny money. So, I mean, it just literally, whose money are the banks dealing with, folks? What's the denomination they're dealing with? U.S. dollars. That should answer your question about banks.
Well, I'm still learning from you. I'm almost scared to talk in front of you because, I do not have your understanding of words. And so, like I say, that's why I'm listening and I'm learning. You have to understand, I'm using language the old-fashioned way that most everybody else does. And they say, I'm still learning, and that's why I'm listening to you. But in other words, there are some very basic things that are going on that, you know, people, you know. Oops, I hear the commercial.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling, and don't ever be afraid to call in. Absolutely not. I think you're very well-spoken. So we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Liberty, privacy, civil rights, and dignity. You want some more?
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
He's a rebel and a runner. He's a signal turner.
We've got one last call here. Let's go to Chris in Colorado. Welcome, Chris.
How you doing? I'm loving that Rush.
I know, right? I feel like such a nerd, but I tried to choose songs that had to do with the format. So.
No, I just love that song. I'm a big Rush fan, so whenever you play it, it gives me like the goosebumps. At any rate, I just wanted to go over just a few points real quickly. I just wanted to tell a quick story about Justice, I guess his name's Antonin Scalia. The supposed Roman Catholic justice. He came over to my college once, and he gave a lecture on natural law versus the Constitution. And the school that I went to was kind of an intellectual conservative Catholic school, so everyone was into natural law and they're, you know, pro-life, no abortion. And when Scalia came to our school, he basically shocked everyone. And basically what he said was this. He said there's no such thing, and I think the context of his statement was with regards to abortion and maybe even things like gay marriage. But what he said was this. He said there's no such thing as natural law in the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And he was right. And that's what shocked everyone, because everyone's thinking, oh, this guy's one of us. He's a Catholic. Well, what is he doing? He needs to protect the rights of the unborn, and you know, he has to go against homosexuality, blah blah blah. But what I've come to realize over the years is that the Constitution is not a Christian document.
Not in the least.
Well, no, and what I think more is that it actually works against Christianity.
Well, it's ultimately, it can only be one thing, which is positive law. You don't, anything you write down is going to be basically a positive law. They say that anything that you establish, and the Constitution was ordained and established, is automatically a de facto state of law, which is illegitimate. And the only way that the only way it gains legitimacy is if people join it. That's the whole foundation of the Constitution. Has no power whatsoever to rule unless people join, or states join it. So it's illegitimate without members, basically.
Right. And I think another point of confusion with, I don't know how should I made up this term, Christian constitutionalists. There's a misconception when Christian constitutionalists use the phrase God-given rights. Because when Christians use that phrase, they believe that God is one thing. But I don't think they understand that what the founding fathers meant by God or the supreme being is a completely other thing. And that's where there's a great deal of confusion. They think they have the same... Go ahead.
Well, see, it just seems to me that all through history, men have been using the name of God to become God. In other words, they constantly are saying, "I am God on earth. I make the law." So it's
right.
It's. I think the problem with the typical quote unquote Christian is that they don't ever consider that there's one more, that there's not only just one form of God. That you have to remember that the Bible's full of gods, little g gods, it mentions them all over the place, and that all the leaders throughout history have been gods, that they're judges and they're presidents and they're kings, they're all gods. And you have to acknowledge that in the capacity of the word in a legal parlance in order to be able to stay separate. And again, you have to be educated on the meanings of those words so that you can stay the hell out of that system. The concept of a Christian constitutionalist is absolutely opposed. Oh, we're at the end. Take care, folks.
With financial uncertainty.